Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Sutta.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on May 10th, 1998, in Mumbai.
Today we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in his inconceivable form of half man and half lion to protect his devotee Prahlad, to annihilate the great demon Hiranyakashipu, and to establish for all time to come faith in the hearts of devotees. Kaunteya prati jane hiname bhakta pranashati. Krishna will always protect those devotees who remember him in a spirit of devotion. How he protects, how he gives pleasure to his devotees is the most wonderful of all subjects. This beautiful story is explained in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Shukadev Goswami's narration to Maharaj Parikshit. This evening, for my own purification, in order to make some humble attempt to serve all of you, I would like to briefly try to recount how this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The narration begins with Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami speaking. It is being asked, Shukadev Goswami, how it is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone, why is it that he kills the demons and protects his devotees? And how is it that Shishupal, who was killed by Krishna, the light of his body entered into the body of Lord Krishna. So, Sukadev Goswami explains how Narada Muni was speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj on this subject. Narada Muni was describing how Shishupal was completely immersed in remembering Krishna from the earliest time of his childhood. And as we prayed this morning, Om Apavitra Pavitro Va Sarvava Sangato Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabhayapyantara Sukshma. Any way we remember Krishna, we become purified. Any way you touch fire, you will be burnt, because the nature of fire is to burn. So because Shishupal was always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna, in envy as his enemy, still he was purified. Of course, if we remember Krishna in love and devotion as a devotee, then we experience the nectar of the intimacy of Krishna's loving relationships in this life, and then in the end we go back home, back to Godhead by Krishna's grace. If we remember Krishna as an enemy, we get liberated, but we do not develop an intimate relationship with Krishna. Krishna killed Shishupal with his Sudarshan Chakra. Shishupal never recognized Krishna as a friend. But by being killed by Krishna, he was given the benediction by which he was freed of all of his sins. And then it is described that Shishupal and Dantavakra, they had previous births as great demons. Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, were cursed by the four Kumaras, because although the four Kumaras are the sons of Brahma, in fact they are the eldest sons of Brahma, senior even to Marichi and the great sages, but by their own free will, they remain always as naked little five-year-old children. To the ordinary people, they look just like little five-year-old children. So Jai and Vijay were thinking, what business does children have coming into Vaikuntha? You cannot come in. So they were cursed. You are showing partiality against us. Therefore, you have no business being here in Vaikuntha. Your mentality is like those in the material world, so we curse you, you go to the material world. By the curse of the four Kumaras, Jai and Vijay fell from Vaikuntha to take three births in demon families. And Narada Muni explains what was the nature of their first birth. They were born of Kashyapa Muni and Diti. The eldest brother was Hiranyakashipu, and the younger was Hiranyaksha. Such powerful, powerful demons. Hiranyaksha, always eager to please his elder brother, with his club on his shoulder, he was conquering all the three worlds. But ultimately, by the prayers of the demigods, the Supreme Lord incarnated as Lord Varahadev. And there was a great fight at the Garbhodak ocean. Lord Varahadev lifted the earth with his tusks to bring it out of the ocean and place it in its natural position. And then he fought with Hiranyaksha. And at the conclusion of this great fight, he touched him with his hoof and then pierced him with his tusk. And Hiranyaksha was dead. The demigods celebrated, but the demons were terribly, terribly sorry. Hiranyakashipu was angry as anything. How is it possible? Because Vishnu is partial to the demigods, he has come and killed my brother. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is supposed to be impartial. He is supposed to be equal to all. That is his opulence. But he is giving up his proper position, and he has fought in favor of the demigods, and he has killed my brother. Therefore, I, with my trident, will cut his head off from his trunk, and with the blood that flows from his body, I will satisfy my brother Hiranyaksha. Meanwhile, his mother and Hiranyaksha's wife were mourning in great sorrow. Hiranyakashipu was a great learned scholar of the Vedas. The only problem is he had the wrong conclusion. He had everything else correct. He explained to his mother and his sister-in-law that actually the soul is eternal. The body is temporary. Why should we be sorry for what is inevitable? Everything must die. Through the changes of material existence, nothing is permanent. And then he explained some stories. He explained the story of one great king named Suyagya, who was on the battlefield and he was killed. He was laying there with all his beautiful golden armor and crowns. He was so angry in the battlefield, even his dead body was still biting his upper lip. And of course, his enemies were happy, but his wives were so much sad. They were just gathered around the dead body and weeping and crying. Meanwhile, it was time to take the husband to the funeral pyre, but they would not let go of his dead corpse. They were so attached to it. It's Yamaraj's duty to take the soul. But Yamaraj, out of great compassion, he wanted to preach to these queens. Now, if he came as Yamaraj, they would not have listened to him. Because it is the nature of people on the material platform that they don't like to listen to great saintly persons. We already know what you're going to say. We already know you're going to say you're not this body, and why should you cry? It's inevitable, you must die. We've heard it so many times from saintly persons. But my husband's dead. I don't want to hear these things now. I'll come to class some other time. But not now. Now my husband's dead. So Yamaraj, he disguised himself as a little boy. Very small boy. Because when a little boy speaks philosophy, everyone listens. Yesterday, we have seen our Yudhisthira Prabhu and Satchidananda Prabhu's children. They spoke so nicely yesterday. Now, Abhay Charan told the story of Nrsingadev. Everyone was in rapt attention, and everyone was cheering and applauding when he finished. I'm telling the same story and you're half asleep. Of course, Radhanath Swami is going to speak about Lord Nrsingadeva and Nrsingach. I've heard it every year. He's going to tell all these stories. And when I finish, no one will applaud. That's for sure. Yesterday they were going, they just wouldn't stop applauding because a little boy told this story. So people are very much captivated when a child speaks philosophy. So he came as a child. And he said, why are you so much worried? Who will protect you? You're all grown women. I'm just a little tiny boy. I have no mother. I have no father. I'm living in the forest. But still, by the power of God and destiny, I am being provided everything I need. So why should you fear? Human life is so precious. Why do you waste it? Then he told the story about the birds, Kalinga birds. And the story was that there was a mother bird and a father bird, and they had a nice nest and so many baby birds. And gradually those babies became little children, and they were taking care of them. The mother would take care of them at home. The father would go out and bring back food and other necessities of life. But one day, a hunter with his net caught the little children birds. And the mother bird, she was thinking, oh, how will I live without my children? So she fell in the net. Then the father bird came. And he saw his wife and children in the net. There was nothing he could do. So he just cried and cried and cried and lamented and lamented and lamented until the hunter came and put him in the net. Hare Krishna. So the moral to the story is, we should not waste our life lamenting for what is beyond our control. We have to go on with our life and do something special. So through this story and teaching nice philosophy, little Yamaraj in his childlike form convinced the young ladies to let the husband go and to engage in the service of the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu somehow or other pacified his relatives. However, he was so angry at Lord Vishnu. and so angry with the demigods that he called his rakshasa and demoniac associates and told them that what we must do is we must go and raid the entire universe. Wherever there is cow protection, destroy it. Wherever there is the performance of yajna, destroy it. Wherever there is satsang of sages, destroy it. Wherever anything pious or religious is being done, destroy everything. So the demons started going out, conquering all directions. Meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu decided, in order for him to fulfill his desire, he would have to perform great tapasya. His desire was that he control single-handedly, with no interruption or interference, the entire universe. He was thinking big. We want to control a family, and we cannot. We cannot even control our own mind or senses. We want to control a business or a company, but yet it's going up and down, and how much control do we have? But he wanted unprecedented, uninterrupted control of the entire universe and all living beings within all planets. He went and performed his tapasya. He stood on the tips of his toes and lifted his arms straight up to the sky. Very difficult. How long can any of you stand in that position? Your toes will start paining and you will soon come down within minutes, or you will become hungry or sleepy. Anyways, don't try it. It's not worth it. Better you chant japa. Do some seva. He performed this yajna for 100 years, according to the denizens of the heavenly planets. One day in the heavenly planets is 6 months by our standards. So how much is 100 years? Who is a good mathematician here? It's a long time. We're getting different messages there. Anyways, long, long time. So long that his whole body was covered by anthill and bamboo shoots and wood. However, he was so powerful by this tapasya that flames of fire started shooting out from the top of his head. And these flames were so great that even the planets in the higher realms were being burnt and scorched unbearably. The whole universe was being illuminated by these flames, but it wasn't a nice illumination. It was painful. It was disastrous. The demigods could find no relief. They all went to Lord Brahma and told him, this Hiranyakashipu, he is performing tapasya because he wants to take your position. He wants to sit on the throne of Brahma Loka and control the whole universe. You're such a pious Lord Brahma. The whole universe is flourishing because of you. But if he takes your position, all religious activities, all righteousness will be finished. So please do something about it. We are all now being burnt by the flames due to his tapasya. Lord Brahma said, yes, come with me. He got aboard his swan carrier. He came down to this Mandara mountain. There he couldn't see Hiranyakashipu. Because as I said, after so many tens and thousands of years of standing in one place without moving, ants ate every bit of flesh and drank all the blood of his body. Hare Krishna. An anthill just was formed over him. All that was there was his bones. But by the power of his tapasya, he was maintaining his life force within his bones. Finally, Brahma saw the terrible flames coming out of his head, and he came down. And he called Hiranyakashipu to come out of the anthill. Lord Brahma, from his kamandalu, his water pot, he sprinkled some celestial waters. And by the touch of those waters, Hiranyakashipu's body became whole. His body was beautiful. It had the golden effulgence. And every limb was so powerful and strong that it could not even be disturbed by Indra's thunderbolt. He also was endowed with all sorts of mystic siddhis. When he saw his beautiful body, he came out. And with folded palms, he began to pray to Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality. He began to glorify Brahma. This is the nature of Mayavadis and atheists. They praise the Lord because they want to take the position of the Lord. Give me your favor so that I can take your post. Hare Krishna. This is not devotion. So he was offering beautiful, beautiful prayers to Brahma. Beautiful in the sense he was glorifying him, but because of his motive, it was all disgusting. So Brahma offered him benedictions. He said, I want to become immortal. But knowing that Brahma cannot give that, because even he only lives a mere 311 trillion years, which is not even a second in comparison to immortality, eternity. So he asked Brahma, give me the benediction that I will not be killed by any living being created by you, either a demigod or an animal or a human being. Give me the benediction I cannot be killed by any weapon, that I cannot be killed inside or outside of any structure, and I cannot be killed in the land, in the air, or in the water, that I cannot be killed in either the day or the night. Give me the benediction that I have all the mystic siddhis, that I can perform any magical feat. Give me the benediction that I will be victorious in all my battles, and that I will conquer all the universe below your abode, and that no one will be able to stand before me. Give me the benediction that I will control everything. And Brahma said, these benedictions are very difficult to achieve, but because you have pleased me by your tapasya, I grant you these benedictions. So Brahma returned to his abode, and then Hiranyakashipu, he went completely mad with intoxication due to the powers he had achieved. Hiranyakashipu, he conquered the lower, the middle, and the upper planetary systems. Every single demigod, with the exception of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, became his obedient servants. On a regular basis, out of fear, they were bringing him gifts. Narada Muni said that Hiranyakashipu conquered Indra's abode, lived in his Nandanandana gardens. He lived in Indra's palace and sat on his throne. And all the demigods had to hide from Hiranyakashipu. Narada Muni said, the apsaras danced for him. The gandharvas sang for him. The demigods used all of their abilities only for his service. Narada said, even I was giving gifts and serving him. No one could withstand his powers. He had such control that whatever temperature he wanted it to be, the sun god would make it exactly that temperature. Whatever fruits he would want to grow from trees at any season, immediately they would grow. Any flower from any tree was according to his desire. And the earth planet, even without being plowed, was supplying unbelievable amounts of food and grains and vegetables just according to the order that he placed upon the earth. The oceans were supplying him, just coming out and offering him the most beautiful jewels, stones, pearls. However, he was always dissatisfied because he controlled everything in the universe, but he could not control his own mind and senses. And one can never be satisfied if one's senses are not under control. Even if you attain the opulence of being the proprietor of the entire universe, you cannot find any real happiness if your mind and senses are not controlled. So Hiranyakashipu had everyone fearful of him, except for his son. Narada Muni told Yudhisthira Maharaj, this son was not controlled by Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu tried by all means to try to kill him. Yudhisthira Maharaj asked, how is this possible? A father is always affectionate to a son. Nowhere have we ever seen a father wanting to kill his own son. Can you tell me this story? Hiranyakashipu had four children. The best of them was Prahlad. Prahlad was a pure devotee from his very birth. He was always immersed in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing, chanting the glories of the Lord. When he was a little boy, he never engaged in playing games with his friends. He was simply immersed in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, worshipping Krishna. He would chant, he would dance, he would cry, his limbs would tremble in ecstasy. Sometimes he would roll on the ground, sometimes he would see Krishna. Sometimes he would feel Krishna touching him with his own hand. His hair stood on end in great happiness. So Hiranyakashipu sent him to the school of the demons, which was conducted by the two sons of Shukracharya, whose names were Shanda and Amarka. And they were teaching politics and diplomacy and all the various subjects that help one become expert in those subjects. But Prahlad Maharaj was not interested in these things because he could understand that politics and diplomacy means this person is your friend, this person is your enemy. How to exploit your friends and how to conquer your enemies. That's material life, is it not? Exploit your friends to get as much out of them as you can and conquer your enemies. Hare Krishna. Now, according to the modes of nature we're in, we may exploit our friends in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. But it's all exploitation if we're still attached to our sense gratification. So one day, Hiranyakashipu very affectionately took Prahlad his favorite son on his lap. And with tears in his eyes of fatherly affection, smelling his head, he said, "Prahlad, you are learning so many nice subjects in your school. Please tell me, what is the best thing you learned?" And little Prahlad, with great respect for his father, affectionately spoke, "O best of the Asuras." Prabhupada explained, Prahlad Maharaj didn't call Hiranyakashipu my father, because he knew Krishna was his father. So he identified him for what he was, not his father. "O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, so far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety, because having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering, one should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." When Prahlad spoke about the path of devotional service, Hiranyakashipu was very, very disturbed. He began to laugh. "Thus, the intelligence of children is spoiled by the words of the enemy." Hiranyakashipu told the demons that, "You send my son back to the Gurukul and you protect him to make sure he's not being contaminated by Vaishnavas." Hare Krishna. Bad association. See, Hiranyakashipu understood the scriptures, but he had everything reversed. That is the problem. The scripture said that by good association, you achieve the ultimate goal of life. And by bad association, everything is spoiled. Your whole life becomes degraded. Yanisha sarvabhutanam, Krishna says in Gita. For the materialistic person, day is night and night is day in compared to devotees. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking that to be with demons who are attached to exploiting other and expert at the science of material exploitation, that is sadhu satsang. Even a moment's association with such a demon can fulfill all your materialistic desires, which is the perfection of life. But if you associate with a Vaishnav, it is more dangerous than drinking poison willingly. So Hiranyakashipu, "Please protect my son." Some of you parents, you send your children to school, you worry, what's happening? He was worried, but opposite. So, Sanda and Amarka, they said, "Prahlad, where did you learn these things? Where are you hearing these things?" And Prahlad explained, "Now this is all nonsense what you're teaching me. Who is a friend? Who is an enemy? I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only if one is equal to all can one be attracted to the Personality of Godhead. This I have heard from my Guru Maharaj. And Krishna is like a magnet, and I'm just like a little particle of metal. My mind is always attracted to Krishna. I cannot think of anything but Krishna." So they were very angry at this. They picked up sticks. "Beat him, beat him. He has taken sides of our enemy." They used the example. Just like in a sandalwood forest, Sometimes you take the branch of a sandalwood tree and then you put it to be the handle of an axe. And then with that axe you cut down the sandalwood tree. So Hiranyakashipu's Rakshasa dynasty is like a forest of sandalwood trees. And Prahlad is like the branch, born of the sandalwood tree. But now, the axe of Vishnu, he has become the handle for. And if we don't destroy him, he will destroy our whole dynasty. Hare Krishna. So, rather than killing him, they wanted to kill his Vaishnav mentality. Just the opposite. Lord Chaitanya did not kill the demons, he killed the demoniac mentality. They didn't want to kill the Vaishnav, they wanted to kill the Vaishnav mentality. So they began to teach him. Prahlad was so humble and so respectful, he would sit in the classes and very, very nicely listen. He wouldn't pay attention in his heart, but he appeared that he was learning his subjects very well. So Sanda and Amarka were thinking, he's only 5 years old. Now he is nicely brainwashed by us. He has learned the subjects well. So they brought him to the mother, and she gave him nice bath, and decorated him with fine clothes, and brought him to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, seeing his son, was overwhelmed with fatherly affection, tears in his eyes, placed him on his lap. He said, Prahlad, you are so nice. You are my son. I love you. Please tell me, what is the king of all knowledge? Prahlad Maharaj replied, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Hare Krishna. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembled. He spoke to Sanda and Amarka that you have spoiled my son. And Sanda and Amarka said, no, somehow or other he has some natural devotion. We only taught him good things. Somehow or other he has been spoiled. It is not our fault. We are the sons of Shukracharya. You should not make aparads to us. And so Hiranyakashipu, after he heard this, he said to Prahlad, you rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? And Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by the combination of both. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of the enjoying of material life, who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the real goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu.
as blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries, unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contaminations. Persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Prahlad Maharaj ki. After Prahlad had spoken in this way, he became silent. Hiranyakashipu, blinded by anger, threw him off his lap and onto the ground. Indignant and angry, his reddish eyes like molten copper, Hiranyakashipu said, "Demons, take this boy away from me. He deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible. This boy, Prahlad, is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant." Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well toward Vishnu. Although a medicinal herb being born in the forest does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated. That means cut off. So that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorably, must be rejected, although born of one's body. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaging and advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sleeping, sitting, must be killed by all means. The demons took Prahlad. With tridents, they began to stab continuously his little frail 5-year-old body. But because Prahlad was always immersed in remembrance of Krishna with transcendental faith, Krishna protected him. He was not harmed. Hiranyakashipu's mind was being fried to see this. How is it? He's not dying. Kill him by any means. Hiranyakashipu and the Rakshasas started using whatever creative imagination they had to figure out various ways to kill him. What did they do? Sometimes they threw him under the feet of huge, violent elephants to be trampled to death. Other times, they poisoned him, administered terrible, terrible poison. They threw him in fire. They starved him. They exposed him to freezing cold. They threw him in the middle of the ocean. They threw him off mountains. They took huge, gigantic boulders of rocks and threw them on his body. They threw him in pits of thousands of venomous, hungry snakes. Every possible way they tried to kill him. But Prahlad Maharaj, because he was always immersed
and humbly remembering Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, he could not be killed. He could not even be harmed. Hiranyakashipu was so much disturbed. He was going mad. He was thinking, how is this possible? If I don't kill him, then he will be the cause of death for me. Hiranyakashipu could not think of any other ways to try to kill his son. He was so frustrated and fearful that he just became silent with his head in his hands in utter anxiety. Sandana Marka came to him, tried to pacify. Why are you so disturbed, Hiranyakashipu? He's only 5 years old, he's a boy. What is the difficulty? He can change. Boys, they are like new bamboo. They can easily be flexible. That is our philosophy. So they were preaching something like that to Hiranyakashipu. Let us take him back into our school. We will tie him up and we will make sure he becomes a worthy son of Hiranyakashipu. So hearing these words and wanting to believe it, Hiranyakashipu was a little pacified. He said, yes, you take my son. So they took him, and they began to teach him all about materialistic life, the science of how to exploit, how to enjoy. So Prahlad was always very, very gentle, affectionate, respectable to everyone, whether they were demons or devotees. That was his nature. So one day, the teachers thought that Prahlad was becoming a very nice demon. But one day, they went home to perform some chores. And the children began to play. And they asked Prahlad, come play with us. Prahlad said, no, I don't want to play. No, please come and play with us. We're playing so many nice games. Prahlad Maharaj said, why are you spoiling your human life playing games? But we're children, Prahlad. What do you expect of us? Of course we're going to play games. Prahlad Maharaj, he gathered his friends together because they loved Prahlad. Because he was so kind, affectionate, gentle, and loving of a person, his friends loved him. They wanted to hear whatever he had to say. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatania. From the tenderest age of childhood, when you are a little kumara, this is the time for Krishna consciousness. This human life is so valuable, we do not know when death will come. Now is the time to fix your mind on the purpose of life. Do you not know this material world is a place of great suffering and misery? You say you have time, but just see how time consumes our life. The normal person in this world, the first 10 years of his life, he's just a little child, completely bewildered. Doesn't know what's happening. Then the next 10 years, he's just playing all sports and games. Cricket and soccer. And doing so many studies in school. That means 20 years is wasted. And then, in old age, your mind is all just it's kind of shriveled up the same way as your skin is all shriveled up. Your senses are not working, your eyes are not working, you're not hearing properly, your teeth are falling out, your nose is running, everything's going wrong. Hair is falling out, white hairs. In this way, 20 years of your life are just quite useless.
That means 40 years.
And actually, half your life you're sleeping.
If you're going to live 100 years, a materialist sleeps almost 12 hours a day. That means 50 years is completely wasted sleeping. Just totally unconscious or dreaming of crazy things. And then the few years in between, you're a grihastha. Completely attached to accumulating more and more and more money. Hare Krishna.
You have your wife. Her sweet words and her nice form
intoxicates your mind and your little children when they talk in broken language. Dada mama, dada mama. Cannot forget these things. Your heart is melting. The pictures of your little children and your wife are engraved within your heart. Darshan. In order to support them, you need more and more sense gratification. In order to do that, you need to accumulate more and more money, working, foaming at the mouth for money. Money, mind is completely intoxicated and infatuated. More money, I need more money. The more you have, the more you need. The less you have, the more you need. Whatever you have, the more you need. In this way, you waste the rest of your life. Material civilization is a civilization where you can never be satisfied. There's danger at every step. The only shelter is to seek refuge at the lotus feet of Vishnu. He's all beautiful. He's all merciful. He's friendly to everyone. We can find full satisfaction in life only by pure, unmotivated devotional service to the Lord. So please worship the Lord. Take shelter of the Lord. He's your real friend. He's the controller of all controllers. This is the real perfection of life. And it should be done now, at every stage of life. It cannot wait. So the children all became devotees. By Prahlad Maharaj's influence, Sanda and Amarka came back from home, back to the classroom, and they saw all the students practicing devotional service. This is very terrible. They were fearful of their lives. He was polluting and corrupting everyone's minds. So they brought him back to Hiranyakashipu and said, he spoiled our whole school. He's leading everyone to the path of bhakti, to Vishnu. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he could not tolerate it. He was like a snake that had just been trampled on. He began hiss. Prahlad! What? You have taken shelter of the enemy. I tried to kill you. I tried in so many ways to kill you. He said, today I must kill you. Where do you get your powers from? Prahlad Maharaj said, I get my powers from the same place you get your power. From the same place everyone gets their power. From the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. He is the source of all power. He is the source of all the world. He is the source of everything. Whatever you have, my father, is only coming by the mercy of Vishnu. This was the worst insult he could have possibly given to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was becoming burning with anger, his eyes copper red. You speak about this Vishnu, where is he? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj said, my father. He is everywhere. He is everywhere, inside and out. Of course he's at the pillar. Hiranyakashipu picked up his sword and he said to Prahlad, "Today I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Today you die." Then he went to Prahlad, but on his way he took his fist and he slammed it against the pillar. When he slammed it against the pillar, from the pillar came this screeching sound. It was a screaming sound. It filled the entire world, all the three worlds. Everything was disturbed by this screaming sound. Hiranyakashipu had never heard such a sound before. It was a frightening sound. It was the very incarnation of fearfulness in this sound. He was looking in all directions. Where is this coming from? What is it? Who is it? How is it? He could not see anything. And then, from the pillar came the beautiful form of Lord Nrsimhadev.
Sri Nrsimha Bhagavan Ki!
He appeared in a form that was half man and half lion. His eyes were red with anger. His mane was emanating effulgence that was lighting up the universe. His teeth were sharp. His neck was short and thick. His waist was thin. His shoulders were broad. He had many, many arms. His tongue was moving around like a dueling sword. He was the very personification anger toward those who offend his devotees. When Hiranyakashipu saw this magnificent form that had never been seen anywhere, his heart was filled with fear. Meanwhile, Nrsimhadev was screaming in anger. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, "Today you will die. I have defeated everyone in battle. I have never lost." He actually was convinced that he could kill him. So just like an insignificant insect flies into a blazing fire, Hiranyakashipu, with his club in his hand, charged at Lord Nrsimhadev. And they had a good fight. First, Hiranyakashipu started beating the body of Lord Nrsimhadev with his club. But just like Garuda easily catches a snake, Nrsimha Bhagavan grabbed onto Hiranyakashipu and held him. He was squirming around. But just as Garuda sometimes lets go of the snake just to play with it, he let go of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's ego became even bigger. He cannot control me. He was thinking that he escaped by his own powers. This is the way Krishna deals with materialistic people. You think you can get away with your sinful activities? Krishna lets you do it for a while. And you think, there is no God. Or if there is, he can do nothing to me. I have money. I have power. I have position. I have intelligence. What can God do to me? Just see, I have done so much cheating and so much killing and so much violence. I have done so much lying and so many immoral activities. And look how nice and prosperous I am. The Lord is just playing with you. like a cat and a mouse. If a cat just kills the mouse instantly, it's not so much fun. But when he just grabs the mouse and lets the mouse go, the mouse is thinking, aha, I have outsmarted the cat. And the cat goes, whoop. Like that. We cannot get away with anything through material nature. Krishna will give, we are answerable to everything we have ever done in due course of time. So, Hiranyakashipu is thinking, I am the Supreme. And with his sword and shield, he again attacked Narasingadev. He began to perform all sorts of mystic feats. He was exhibiting his various siddhis. Sometimes he was flying in this direction, then he was in that direction, and he was flying everywhere. And he was shooting so many weapons. And Lord Narasingadev began to laugh. Ah, what type of laugh that was. The demigods were falling from their planets hearing this laughter. Such a laugh. You're laughing, but nobody's falling. So much laughing. The Lord was laughing. And when Hiranyakashipu heard this laugh, he did not laugh. He was very frightful. His heart was shaking. Everyone's hearts were shaking. Then the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead in this divine form of half-man and half-lion, he grabbed on to Hiranyakashipu and placed him on top of his thighs, brought him right into the doorstep of the palace. At that time, it was just dusk, neither day or night. And with his powerful nails, which were stronger than thunderbolts, he ripped open Hiranyakashipu. He ripped his body to pieces. He just ripped it and ripped it. Hiranyakashipu was squirming and struggling and moving here and there. But he could not escape. Narasingadev took the heart right out of the body of Hiranyakashipu. Sri Narasingadev Bhagavan Ki! Then he took the intestines and wrapped it around his neck like a garland of victory. Narasingadev Bhagavan Ki! Then he took dead, mutilated corpse of Hiranyakashipu and effortlessly threw it on the ground. Narasingadev Bhagavan Ki! Upon seeing this, the demons were terribly angry. Hundreds and thousands of demons attacked. Big, big Maharati Rakshashas, they were all attacking Narasingadev. And with the mere nails of his paws, he was scratching them to death. They were all dead. Some of them ran away, but they could not escape. After destroying the armies of Rakshasas, destroying the king of all demons, Hiranyakashipu, Narasingadev just roared in anger. Meanwhile, the demigods, headed by Brahma and Shiva, they all came. In fact, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, Vayu, Varuna, they all were just gathered around in the sky, offering prayers to Lord Narasingadev, glorifying him for his supreme mercy and his beautiful opulences. But he was still roaring with anger. So Brahma and Shiva were asked to pacify him. Brahma and Shiva said,
It is not possible. We cannot approach this fearful form of the Lord. So they approached Lakshmi Devi and said, "He is your husband. Please pacify him from this anger. The whole universe will be destroyed by his anger." Lakshmi Devi said, "I have never seen him like this before. I cannot approach him. I am afraid. My heart is fearful of this form of my husband. I cannot see him like this."
Then Lord Brahma approached Prahlad and said, "He came to protect you. He came to protect you from your father. Please, it is my instruction to you.
Pacify the Lord."
Prahlad Maharaj, always eager to serve great souls, on the order of Brahma, he fearlessly approached Lord Narasimhadev.
The biggest of the demigods were afraid of him, but a five-year-old child was fearless.
This is the power of remembering the Lord. This is a devotee.
Prahlad Maharaj offered his prostrated obeisances. When he offered his prostrated obeisances, Lord Narasimhadev saw him and personally lifted him up and placed his hand on Prahlad's head. By seeing the loving devotion of Prahlad, Lord Narasimhadev shed all of his anger. He became peaceful. And Prahlad began to offer beautiful prayers to Lord Narasimhadev. "Why are you showing so much mercy to me? I am the son of a demon. I have nothing but association of demons my whole life. I am plunged into the ocean of materialistic life and controlled by the three modes of material nature. But still, because you are equal to all and you are all merciful, you have placed your hand on my head. Even Brahma, Shiva, even Lakshmi does not get your hand on their head. I am so low and fallen, but you have placed your hand on my head." Prahlad Maharaj, when being touched by the Lord, tears started flowing from his eyes and ecstatic symptoms manifested all over his body of love of God. Prahlad Maharaj described so many wonderful prayers in glorification of the Lord, offered with such intimate humility and devotion. He said, "I was suffering in this material existence, lost. But my spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, he came and lifted me up. How could I ever give up the service of such a spiritual master? He is my life and soul. His service is my only purpose in existence." Narasimhadev offered Prahlad any benediction he desired. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, why are you tempting me like this? A devotee does not want anything but service. If I would ask for anything material from you in exchange for my service, then I would not be a pure devotee. I would be a merchant. The mercantile mentality is you do some service expecting something material in return. But the pure devotees, they want nothing in return. They want to serve you only for your satisfaction. If you want to give me a benediction, give me this. That I may never forget you. That I may forever serve you with love in my heart. That is the only benediction I desire."
If you want to give me a benediction, give me this,
that I may never forget you,
that I may forever serve you with love in my heart.
That is the only benediction I desire.
Lord Narsingadev praised Prahlad Maharaj, praised him for his great exemplary devotional service. Narsingadev said, whoever remembers you, whoever follows in your footsteps, will certainly achieve the ultimate goal of pure devotional service.
Then Prahlad said, I don't even want liberation. As long as materialistic people are suffering in this world due to forgetfulness of you, I want to be here to help them remember Krishna consciousness. Fools and rascals are busy trying to make material arrangements, accumulating money, accumulating wealth, building big families. And therefore they are suffering birth after birth after birth in this material world. And meanwhile, saintly people, they go to holy places and they separate themselves from the rest of society for their own liberation.
I do not want to follow them.
I want to remain wherever the people are suffering. As long as one person is here, I want to be in this world to help them become Krishna conscious so that they will go back home, back to Godhead. That is my desire. And my father, even though he is so fortunate that he was personally killed by your own lotus-like nails, still, even at the time of his death, he was angry at you. Throughout his life and in his death, he was blaspheming you and angry with you. Please purify him of his sins. That is the one benediction I ask. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad, as a great Vaishnava, only wanted the welfare of Hiranyakashipu. Narsingadev said, it is already done. Hiranyakashipu is purified by me. Not only that, 21 generations of your family members are liberated and purified because of your devotional service. Anyone who achieves pure devotion, anyone who surrenders to the Lord wholeheartedly, 21 generations of that person's family members are purified. What does that mean, 21 generations? It means all the mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and everything that you have had for the last 21 births. Not only this family. Your family in the last birth, in the next birth before that, the next birth before that, before that, before that. 21 generations, they're all purified. If you just become pure devotee through the process of loudly chanting the holy names. Satisfying Prahlad,
Maharaj, Lord Brahma came and began to offer beautiful prayers to Lord Narsingadev.
Lord Narsingadev said,
you should not give benedictions to demons like Hiranyakashipu anymore after this. See what he has done.
Lord Brahma glorified Lord Narsingadev. Who is a more great master than you who always protects his devotee under all circumstances of life? And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Narasimha Bhagavan,
return to his eternal abode of Vaikuntha. So on this very, very auspicious day, Narasimha Chaturdasi, we remember this wonderful story. And with it are so many lessons that are so essential to understand in our lives. Narada Muni told Maharaj Yudhisthira that whoever hears this narration submissively will certainly gain the mercy of Lord Krishna. In fact, wherever devotees meet together to discuss pure devotional service, the topic of the glory of Prahlad Maharaj will always be there. Lord Narsingadev, even though Prahlad Maharaj did not want anything of this world, he only wanted to remember him and help others become Krishna conscious. Still, Lord Narsingadev put him as the king of all the demons. He had him coronated as the emperor of the Rakshasa dynasty. And he remained in that position until the end of the life of Manu. Long, long time. He was a great king, but a great devotee. His grandson was Bali Maharaj. Such a dynasty of great souls. So when we think of Narsingadev, we must think of Prahlad. This is the arrangement of the Lord. Actually, Narsingadev allowed all these things to happen to Prahlad just to show the world the standard of his faith and devotion. And then in the end, he showed his love for his devotee. On this day, we should pray. Please, Lord Narasimhadev, you have appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu and protect the helpless child, Prahlad. I am also your helpless child. I cannot protect myself. And Hiranyakashipu is within me and without me, trying to somehow or other take my consciousness away from you, take my activities away from you. If Prahlad would have just cooperated with Hiranyakashipu, he would have been the king of the universe. But because of his strong devotion to Krishna, he was willing to risk his life at the threat of death, blasphemy, and all sorts of treacheries. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. We should try to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Be the friend, the humble, loving well-wisher of all living beings, respectful to all, but never allow any situation to divert us from devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should pray at the lotus feet of Lord Narasimhadev. Please, take away the impediments that are trying to drag me away from you. Lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, illusion. Remove these things from my heart. And let me forever worship your transcendental form as the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. This was Prahlad's prayer. Let me always be the servant of the servant of your servants. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.